Greetings to those of you on the webcast. Emendations of the Sopharim. How many knew what the emendations of the Sopharim meant? Oh, that's fewer than I even thought. Well, I didn't know until a couple of months ago. Well, how many looked it up after seeing the title in the bulletin? One. That's also fewer than I thought. Well, thank you for coming anyway. Okay, so the first question is, what are the emendations of the Sopharim? The second question is, why do I care? So let's start with the Sopharim. They are the scribes of the Old Testament scriptures, the ones who copied the Masoretic text. Masoretic from the word Masorah, which are notes in the margins. Quote, the Masoretic text is considered by the Jews to be the authoritative text of the 24 books of the Hebrew Bible in Rabbinic Judaism. Continuing, it was primarily copied, edited, and distributed by a group of Jews known as the Masoretes from Masorah between the 7th and 10th centuries. The oldest known complete copy, the Leningrad Codex, dates from the early 11th century. So that's Sopharim. Emendations are corrections to a text or alterations of a text to improve it. Ordinary people would probably just call them scribal edits. The emendations themselves may be older than the Masoretes. So why amend the text? Well, the reason given for amending the text was to protect the sacredness of God's name, YHVH. Some pronounce it as Jehovah, some say Yehovah, some say Yahweh, and there's other pronunciations out there. But the Jews don't pronounce it at all. And they don't want anyone else pronouncing it either. YHVH, however, appears in the Old Testament 6,823 times unchanged. But many claim that the 134 additional times the Sopharim changed YHVH to Adonai, or sometimes Elohim. These are the emendations that I'm talking about. So, and nearly all English Bibles translate YHVH as Lord in all caps, sometimes a smaller font. Often, Bibles will explain that they are translating YHVH this way in the introduction. How many have read the introduction to their Bible? More hands than I got before. Well, here's what the NIV says under a paragraph called The Proper Name of God in the Old Testament. In the scriptures, the name of God is most significant and understandably so. There is a name which is particularly assigned to God as his special or proper name, that is the four letters YHVH. This name is not pronounced by the Jews because of reference for the great sacredness of the divine name. Therefore, it has been consistently translated as Lord, all caps. The only exception to this translation of YHVH is when it occurs in immediate proximity to the word Adonai. In that case, it is regularly translated God, uppercase, in order to avoid confusion. And personally, I find that explanation more confusing. So why did the Sopharim change those 134 occurrences? They list some reasons, but the short answer is the changes make it appear as if no one had a personal relationship with Jehovah. So some of the emendations have doctrinal implications. That's where I'm going with this. They obscure the truth that God is more than just a single being, specifically that God is two Jehovahs. Consider Psalm 110, which is where we'll spend the rest of our time. And for clarity, I'm going to be focusing in on verses 1 and 5. So Psalm 10, verse 1, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies as your footstool." And verse 5, "The Lord at your right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath." So could you tell where I read Lord in all caps? There's supposed to be some laughter at that point. Anyway, I can't tell who's who in English. So hear it again with the names put in. Jehovah said to my Adon, sit at my right hand. Now with emendations, verse 5 reads, Adonai at your right hand. But without emendations, it says, Jehovah at your right hand. So I'm going to repeat that. Jehovah said to Adon, my Adon, sit at my right hand. Verse 5, Jehovah at your right hand. So, using BibleHub.com, I did find 7 translations that say Lord in verse 5 in all caps, and 2 that actually said Jehovah. One of those actually translated from Aramaic. QBible.com, which is my favorite go-to source for Hebrew, also has YHVH in verse 5. Without the emendation, Psalm 110 clearly says that there is a Jehovah sitting at the right hand of another Jehovah. Catch that? There's a Jehovah sitting next to a Jehovah. The churches of God have always taught that this refers to God the Father and God the Son. And I don't know when exactly they may have learned about the emendations, but UCG does mention them in the study paper, The Nature of God and Christ, at which you can look up on the website. It's in page 14. Two Jehovahs is a problem for anyone who believe, like the Jews, that God is one being. Jesus himself quotes Psalm 110. If we go to Matthew 22, verse 41, "Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. Christ said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Therefore, if David calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to offer him a word in answer, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him any more questions." Again, could you tell when I read Lord in all caps? In the Greek, the name Jehovah is translated as Kurios, as is the phrase, my Lord. YHVH never appears in the Greek New Testament. So let's plug Kurios into that, Matthew 22, verse 43. "He said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Kurios? Saying, Kurios said to my Kurios, sit at my right hand. Therefore, if David calls him Kurios, how is he his son?" So what he's asking is kind of two things. How could David's Lord be his son? And how could Kurios say to another Kurios? Demonstrating that Jesus was a Jehovah, is a Jehovah. Jesus is not an angel. Paul also quotes Psalm 110 to show that Jesus was not an angel. In Hebrews 1, verse 13, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" Hebrews 1 and 2 are full of Old Testament quotes that show that Jesus is the Son of God, not an angel. The churches of God are not alone in teaching Jesus' divinity, but there are others who teach he was an angel, the very thing Paul was teaching against in Hebrews. But Psalm 110 verse 5 refers to Jesus as Jehovah, which means he was, he is, he will be, or I am that I am, or the unchanging, eternal, self-existent God. It's right there in the name. How about the God of the Old Testament? Quote, "Others contend that the Jehovah of the Old Testament times was the same as God the Father in the New Testament." Well, remember Psalm 110. "The Lord said to my Lord," could you figure out which one was all caps? "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." David called him my Lord. David was the king of Israel, so he didn't call any man my Lord. So we know from verse 5 that the Lord that David knew became known as Jesus because he was at the right hand, not the one who became known as God the Father. Furthermore, Jesus says that he reveals the Father. Well, if the Father was the God of the Old Testament, he doesn't need revealing. The God of the Old Testament is in the stories of Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and David, etc., etc., etc. He doesn't need revealing. So, 134 emendations, one down, 133 to go. I'm going to need more time. So, not everyone agrees with this interpretation of the 134 emendations. Our knowledge of them comes from the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger, who got it from a rather dense book called The Masorah by C.D. Ginsburg. It's 2,500 pages long. Both men were writing in the late 19th century. Both books are available free online. Here's a quote from Ginsburg's book. "We have seen in many of these 134 instances in which the present received text, the Masoretic text, reads Adonai in accordance with the Masorah, but some of the best manuscripts and early editions read the Tetragrammaton, YHVH. Well, today we have a lot more manuscripts than Ginsburg had access to, the Dead Sea Scrolls being the most familiar example. Ginsburg said that the Masoretic text does not match some of the best manuscripts and early editions. If Ginsburg were writing today, with the manuscript access of today, would he come to the same conclusions? And some argue that Ginsburg was misinterpreted. However, we don't need to appeal to the emendations argument to make the doctrinal statements about the identity of Jesus, but they do make it easier to explain them. So, let's review the lessons that Psalm 110, with or without emendation, teaches. The Old Testament points to two Jehovahs, not one, not three. Jesus was the Son of God, not an angel. Jesus was and is God. It's right in the name Jehovah. And Jesus was the God of the Old Testament.